Dr. William Amalu is the director of the Pacific Chiropractic and Research Center. He has been in practice for 17 years, and he's the current president of the International Academy of Clinical Thermology. He holds 3 diplomates and a fellowship in clinical thermology. Dr. Amalu is located in Redwood City, where he is a chiropractor, but his chief focus for the purpose of our interview is his breast thermography center and the advantages and disadvantages of using breast thermography as a sort of early warning system for the potential for breast cancer. There's a lot of controversy about this, and I had a doctor, basically tell me, it's been disproven. And when I asked for some references, he said he'd get back to me. So let's start out with just a description. What is breast thermography and how does it work?
Well, first of all, the technology is completely different from what most women are used to having as far as the screening procedure. The test is non-toxic. There's no radiation involved. It is very comfortable. So there's no harm to the patient whatsoever when having the exam. The technology uses very sophisticated infrared cameras and computer systems to produce an image, which is basically a thermal map, a heat map of the surface of the body. And when it comes to the breast, we're also very interested in the blood vessel supply, and it produces a unique fingerprint of that blood vessel supply for each patient. As cancers are forming, they need an increased blood supply to feed their accelerated growth and to remove waste from the area. So what we're actually looking at is the biological milieu of the breast. We're looking at these chemical changes, which are heralded far in advance of a large tissue mass. In other words, when looking at mammography or ultrasound or MRI, those tests are imaging procedures that look for structure. They're looking for a mass of cells large enough to eventually be seen. With thermography, because we're looking at chemical changes or function, we're seeing things that are far in advance, and the research has shown that we can actually see the onset of a tumor 8 to 10 years before any other technology can see it.
Well, one of the things when I last visited the issue of breast imaging in 2002, we did a special program on this, and the thing that struck my mind then was the idea that from the moment that you get breast cancer, the actual cell that is a true cancer cell, there is perhaps 10 years of growth before you can feel a 1 centimeter or pea-sized node. During that 10 years, somewhere around year 5 or 6, if you're lucky, you start to see characteristic microcalcifications that would suggest on a mammogram that that area needs to be biopsied. So in other words, by the time the mammogram is positive, you've already had a breast cancer growing in your body for at least 5 years. And that was the kind of generally agreed upon timeline. So if I'm understanding you correctly, the thermogram is really looking at the breast cancer, even perhaps at T-1 or 2, when it isn't effectively a full cancer cell yet, it's a precancerous cell. Is that the claim?
Well, that's true. That's true. We can actually see precancerous tissue. It depends on how aggressive that tissue is also, how much of a blood supply is heralded by these atypical cells.
And what does it look like on a thermogram? It looks hot?
Exactly. Basically, the quality of the images we have today, and again, this is not the old thermography. I mean, the new technology here, medical infrared imaging, high-resolution imaging, we are looking at something that is almost as fine as a black-and-white photograph. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is we're seeing heat, especially looking for areas of blood supply. Because, again, this is that angiogenesis or neoangiogenesis, this new blood vessel growth that accompanies the tumor. And you're absolutely correct. I mean, we're looking at 8 to 10 years for a tumor to grow to the size of a dime, and that's approximately the time a mammogram sees it. At this point, what we're looking at is something that is not offering an after-the-fact technology. In other words, your mammogram is after the fact. There's already a tumor there. We can herald something 8 to 10 years in advance. We can give this advance warning. Each thermogram image becomes an assessment of risk, which is far more important than even a first-order family history of the disease. The research has shown that it is 10 times more important. So we could actually offer a woman an individualized assessment based on what's happening with her breast health right now.
Aren't there other things that could give you a hot spot on your breast?
Yes, they could, absolutely. There could be an abscess, in other words, an infection. But again, these types of things, especially during lactation, have other symptoms which are common to the condition, such as fever, malaise, flu-like type symptoms, pinpoint tenderness, a lot of redness to the breast. And again, it's usually associated with things like lactation, so you would know that this goes with it. But things like fibroadenomas, cysts, all of those things are cold,
right,
which is good because otherwise you'd have a test that was positive all the time.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the problems that we see with MRI of the breast is that it does have a lot of false positives. So it doesn't work as a primary screening tool. Might as well just go and do random biopsies of the breast the way they do random biopsies of the prostate.
Right.
It makes no sense to use it as a screening tool when it has that many false positives. The interesting thing, I guess, that came through to me in the thermogram literature was the idea of this persistence of the hot spot having more specificity for a precancerous or a early cancer.
Well, yes. Basically, the research that has been done shows that we're dealing with an image that is abnormal, having a 24 times greater risk of future breast cancer. In women who have a persistent abnormal thermogram, the chance of a cancer showing up, now this is with all other tests being negative, so you have a negative mammogram, a negative ultrasound, and the only thing that's positive is a thermogram. The chance of having a tumor found in 5 years is over 40%. That's very high.
Mm, yes, it is.
So the abnormal thermogram is the greatest known risk marker for the future development or the current existence of a neoplasm.
That's quite a statement. Let's go back to the idea that this is a new technology. You said the new medical infrared high-resolution technology. When I was looking at thermography, it seemed like there was a kind of a bimodal thing in the literature where there was all this stuff in the 70s and 80s and then nothing. And then very recently, everything is in this millennium, the 21st century, you start to see a few more articles coming out. When did the technology change? You've obviously been in the field for 17 years, so you can tell me, is it 17 years old technology? Is it older than that? And what is the historical pattern here, and why is thermography considered so discredited by radiologists? I'm not a conspiracy theorist here, but obviously there must have been some studies that discredited an old technology. Can you explain this?
You've got quite a few good questions. First of all, the current technology. Basically, military uses and aerospace uses of infrared imaging is what has propelled this technology forward. So we're looking right now at being in the fourth generation of these imaging systems. So older systems, again, those used in the 70s and early 80s, were for more industrial purposes. Those systems are completely out of date. The newer technology has far greater resolution. It's all digital, all computerized. We can see detail as fine as a single capillary, which is the size of a human hair.
And this starts when? In the timeline?
In the timeline right now, this newer technology, the latest and greatest, we're looking at approximately year 2000 plus.
Okay, that follows what I've seen in the literature.
Right. Now, there was a great deal of advancements in the 90s, and there was very, very good imaging systems, far better and greater than what we had in the 1980s. But right now, this current technology is fantastic, and it's getting better every single year. The advancements are quite amazing.
I noticed that a lot of it's being funded by the Department of Defense.
Absolutely. So we can at least thank those advancements for those in healthcare here in medicine. Now, as far as things that discredited, well, right now, most physicians don't even remember the breast cancer demonstration projects, BCDDP, the Breast Cancer Detection and Development Project.
I certainly don't remember that.
It was in the 1970s. I believe it was from 74 to 79. It was 5 years. It was a multi-center trial throughout the United States. Going back to that, being a researcher myself, what disturbed me was the original premise and how the study would even be funded, because the original premise stated that we're going to investigate thermography as a replacement for mammography. Now, immediately as a researcher, I look at this and say, how can a test or an examination of physiology replace one that looks at anatomy?
Right, structural versus function.
Absolutely. This is a complete mistake. And so right from the get-go, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of the premise was if a thermogram was negative, a mammogram would be completely unnecessary. Again, you cannot do that with this type of technology because the two are so different.
Mm-hmm.
So the study was doomed from the design.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did find in the study was that thermography did catch things that other technologies didn't, but of course it couldn't replace, so they threw it out. Now the problem here in the 1970s is twofold. Number one, the imagers were low resolution and they were of an industrial nature, so they didn't know that they were using the wrong wavelength for human heat emission. Secondly, there were no protocols followed. None were in place yet for imaging thermally. So in other words, a lot of these centers were merely trailers. And they would open a door at the front and open a door at the back. They would take women that are down in Louisiana where it's terribly humid and hot. They would be perspiring. They go in one door. They come out the other with a breeze. You can't do this for thermal imaging. And last but not least, there were no standardized interpretation protocols until 1984, and the study stopped in 1979. So there were tremendous errors. You also had to have exceptional competency for the radiologists. They had to be specially trained to read mammograms. You had to have special machines, of course, to take a mammogram. And all these things were in place in order to get a grant to be one of the imaging sites. But in order to do thermography, you had to have no skill whatsoever. There was nothing required of the radiologists. So nobody even knew what they were doing. So some doctors will still quote that study.
Mm-hmm.
Most doctors nowadays just say, what is this? They have no idea what it is.
Unless they're radiologists, in which case they tend to get really huffy. That's been my experience anyway with a couple of conversations since I decided that we were going to do this program together. So assuming that that huffiness is misplaced, and it very well may be if it's based on that study, the new technology that has been around now since 2000, so 6 to 8 years, that's starting to develop a bit of a literature, hasn't exactly been embraced with open arms by the imaging people, you know, the people whose job is to do imaging. Is there an issue because this is a relatively cheap technology?
Well, you have a good point there. From what I understand, and of course I work with radiologists all the time who are very pro what we're doing because, of course, we've been able to demonstrate that in many cases we find cancers that no one else is seeing and we're saving lives, saving breasts. So they work with us very well, but you're right. I still have this animosity I see. And basically, a lot of them don't know that, number one, this is an FDA-approved technology. This has been well-researched. There's over 800 Index Medicus peer-reviewed studies in the literature on breast alone. There's over 10,000 for infrared imaging for the whole body. So a lot of people just don't know this. Also, you know, as you're well aware, doctor, change comes pretty slowly in our profession for reasons of skepticism and others. It took 25 years for mammograms to be accepted. A lot of people don't know how slow things change.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at the timeline and you say, well, it's been around very strongly since the 1980s, it's about time for thermography to come through.
And do you see that? Do you see a trend of more people getting trained in thermography?
We're seeing
from
a trend.
Standard
yes,
medicine?
We are. We're seeing a trend. And we're seeing a lot more doctors in the area using it. Again, this is an adjunct. It's kind of funny. When you talk to radiologists and you talk to other physicians, the public understands that what an adjunct is, of course. It's an add-on test. It's not a standalone. Well, what the public also doesn't realize is mammography is not standalone. There isn't a physician out there that would tell their patients, well, don't worry, you don't need to come in for your clinical examinations. In other words, don't come in for any palpatory examinations of the breast. We can just do mammogram alone. Nobody would ever say that because many cancers are found by palpation alone.
Right, 10% of breast cancers found by palpation
exactly.
Don't show
So mammography is not standalone either. The best methodology is combination, a multimodal approach.
Right. As we've talked about this, I'm bringing up a study here. This one is from the American Journal of
Rentgenology.
Thank you. 2003. And it was the Parisky study.
Oh, Dr. Parisky, yes. That was UC Norris Research Center.
Exactly. USC, not exactly a fly-by-night institution. A blinded study, 796 subjects, 875 biopsy lesions, 187 malignant, 688 benign. So basically a fairly high rate of positives. I've been taught that if you have more than 10% positive biopsies, you're not doing enough biopsies. This is biopsies based on mammography. In this study, they were looking at infrared images. It looks to me like this was the sort of level of infrared technology that you're talking about. And they assessed an index of suspicion and found that it was 97% sensitive, which is very good, and had a 95% negative predicted value. So for my audience, what that means is that if the thermography said, nah, this is not a cancer, it was right 95% of the time.
This is much higher than the current technology.
Yeah, and then they did something else which I thought was really interesting. They looked at the microcalcifications. They sort of didn't look very bad on mammography to start with.
Right.
They were just little microcalcifications, the kind of thing where you could sit tight and check in 6 to 12 months or you could do something. And so in those iffy ones that add to a lot of worry and concern and fear, and if you decide not to get a breast biopsy, then you're freaking out for 6 months to a year. If you decide to get a biopsy, then you're worried they missed it, not to mention the technology and the pain and et cetera. And what they found in that subgroup was that it was 99% sensitive and it had a 99% negative predictive value. So if you were just looking at a sort of iffy microcalcification and the thermography was favorable, then the sit-tight approach was very validated. You really didn't need to biopsy that one. And I thought, now that's something I could use in clinical medicine, would be to, in those gray area situations, use the thermogram to make me decide, do I refer to a surgeon or do we just sit tight, you know, maybe eat a lot of broccoli for 6 months?
Right. Well, you're absolutely correct. This is the combined approach we're talking about. We have many women who walk in with the usual quote-unquote watchful mammogram or watchful ultrasound. And when we take an image, it's either very, very negative or, my goodness, no, we shouldn't be watching this. We need to move forward immediately. It's a very impressive add-on technology that is just exactly what you're saying.
Another study that I wanted to talk to you about, this is actually an older study. It's 1988. It was published in the journal Cancer, and it's Isard and Schweitzer. I might add that you did not give me these references. I went to the internet, to the National Library of Medicine, and just searched thermography in PubMed. I got 1,139 citations, not too shabby. And then when I filtered on abstracts, I got about 20 of them, and that's what I used to prepare for this program. Now, this study looked at 70 patients at the Albert Einstein Medical Center, to remind you, and this was during the BCDDP study. And a diagnosis of breast cancer was established in each case before 1980. So this is a look-back kind of study since
right.
It's published in 1988. Then these women were followed for a minimum of 6 to a maximum of 13 years. And then they looked at survival rates of the breast cancer cases who had had either favorable, equivocal, or poor thermographic factors.
Right.
And what they found is that if you had a poor thermographic diagnostic factor, the 5-year survival was 30% and the 10-year survival was 20%. Whereas if you had just overall survival and you looked at the entire group, you had 80% 5-year survival and 70% 10-year survival, which are the numbers that I generally quote to women who have a quote unquote breast cancer. It's like, well, you know, as a group, this is what breast cancers do. Now, this is back in 1988, and I don't know that our current cellular-type testing wouldn't more than meet the criteria for this predictive value. But I could also see myself sending women who are breast cancer survivors for thermograms with the idea that, number one, if we can do a thermogram at the time of their cancer diagnosis, we can decide, you know, we really need to be very aggressive with this cancer. And so, yeah, you're going to do the radiation and the chemo and the aromatase inhibitors, because this is an aggressive one. And if we saw, for example, semi-aggressive activity in the opposite breast, this would be a woman where you might say, okay, maybe in your case, a prophylactic mastectomy would make sense, if nothing else can do to lower
right.
your risk. Whereas other women who would perhaps be on the fence as far as being aggressive or following a more natural course, I think it could be a tiebreaker in a lot of situations is what I'm saying.
You're absolutely correct. What we're looking at here is the prognostic capability of the technology.
Yes.
Using this to demonstrate the aggressiveness of the tumor. You couldn't be more right. The technology has been used for quite some time in this methodology and also tracking patients for treatment. So many times I'm the first one who calls the patient's oncologist and says the chemo is failing because we're seeing the angiogenesis return. Also, there's, of course, the controversy over DCIS and what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
We have many patients where we'll see that when we grade the images, the DCIS, in other words, when they do the nuclear grading eventually, we grade the image that it's a fairly benign DCIS. And then there are times when we see that, no, this could really be bad. So basically, when we're looking at the genotyping or the aggressiveness of the tumor, this technology is very good at saying whether or not this is an aggressive tumor. And when it comes to DCIS and the controversy surrounding it, many times we'll see a very non-aggressive DCIS, and then sometimes we see some that are very aggressive, and when the histological typing is done, you'll find that, yes, it does agree that if this had broken out of the capsule and moved further, it could have been very, very deadly. So using this in a prognostic sense is impressive. Also using it to monitor treatment. What are you going to do with a mammogram or an ultrasound or an MRI to monitor treatment? Well, how can you see the effectiveness of drugs? How can you watch this without a functional imaging tool, looking at the physiology of the breast? This technology can do this, so we can monitor treatment and see if things are failing or working.
We know that after 5 years, the benefit of further tamoxifen disappears, and the reason for that is presumably mutation of the cancer cells and the estrogen receptors,
right,
such that tamoxifen no longer serves as a blocker. So you could, theoretically at least, monitor the tamoxifen patients,
yes,
for early mutation.
Yes, exactly. And especially for the substantially increased risk in the other breast. These are the women who have to be followed even closer than anyone else. You know, on the topic of tamoxifen, the other wonderful aspect of this technology that we see is prevention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk on how we can prevent breast cancer. What do we have as far as prevention is concerned? Well, at least we know one thing. The single greatest risk factor for breast cancer is lifetime exposure to estrogen because, of course, of its aromatization, the breakdown of the breast being chemicals that are damaging to DNA. With this technology, we can actually look at the breasts themselves and say whether or not there is a hormone imbalance in the breast because the action of estrogen on the breast is anabolic. It is causing increased cellular size in the tubular cells, mm-hmm, in the ductal cells. We are seeing with this increased size and increased cellular activity, the need, of course, for more blood to bring in nutrients and to supply and keep the existence of this cellular growth and this increased metabolism going. So what we see is a very unique blood vessel display in both breasts. Research done approximately 5 years ago, I believe, by the National Cancer Institute showed that the breast can actually have as high as 50 times the estrogen that can be found in the blood, saliva, or urine.
This is being produced in the breast.
Yes, exactly. This is the patient's own genetic makeup for one reason or another. And the breast itself, being a primitive skin gland, is actually hiding it from the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the women who I see that come in and say, well, I've had all my blood tests. My doctors say everything looks normal. I've done saliva testing. I've done everything. But why do I still have all these fibrocysts? Why are my breasts so tender? Or combinations of symptoms in between. And when we look at the image, it's like they're lit up like a Christmas tree. And this is that estrogen dominance. And when women do something about it, there's a phenomenal change to the breast, and we can monitor their treatment. Women can rebalance the hormones in the breast, the balance between progesterone and estrogen, and decrease their lifetime risk by doing this. And it's so important. So we can see changes, dietary changes. We can watch whatever treatment their doctor is using, anything from topical progesterone to oral changes, anything. And this is an extremely positive aspect of this technology because now we're talking about breast cancer prevention.
At least potentially. I think that the publication of these other ideas must have already taken place, and yet I had a hard time finding any references. Do you have the one for the biopsy study that you mentioned?
Yeah, I do have that. I believe it is on my website. That's www.breastthermography.com. You'll also find it in a couple of new textbooks that are out since the year 2000. One of the texts is Medical Devices and Systems. It's in the Biomedical Engineering Handbook, 3rd edition. They can pick these up on Amazon. The other one is Medical Infrared Imaging. I authored a chapter in both of these texts. The first one, the Biomedical Engineering Handbook, is a university desk reference text.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tremendous amount of literature there as far as references. The hard thing about references right now, especially with Medline, things like that, is that they don't have older references a great deal of times. In my area here, I go down to Stanford Med, and then you can pull a tremendous amount of the older references.
Right, and that's a problem if you try to go online. It only goes back so far.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes the public believes everything's there, and it's not, not even close.
Well, not unless someone had an interest in putting it there. One of the sites that I found, in fact, several of the sites I found discussing thermography, took a very negative stance on mammography. One in particular, the Irish Center of Integrated Medicine, made some, I thought, fairly inflammatory comments, and I am going to look at the references they cite if I can find them. They're fairly obscure. But essentially what they were saying is that the radiation dose of a mammogram is in and of itself carcinogenic, or potentially so. And that's clearly a fear in my community. I hear that from women. I see a great deal of skepticism. I wanted to ask you, because you're saying this is two diagnostic studies. We do mammograms and thermograms, and they are synergistic
right.
in detecting breast cancer. So what's your statement, or what statement would you make to someone who asked about radiation exposure or radiation risk from mammography?
Well, basically, at this time, I'm not sure how much data we really have out there to make any concrete statements. I also have radiology here in our center. The human body is designed to deal with a certain amount of background X radiation. We get some from the sun every single year. So the body is able to handle this. How much? We know that accumulative exposure is not a good idea. If you call the FDA and you ask them, well, can you give me something that causes cancer? And they'll say, well, of course radiation does. It's how much. It's how much over time. So I don't know at this time how well we can answer that question with cumulative exposure. I really don't have not seen any concrete data.
Well, cumulative studies are always difficult. This Irish site, which is very skeptical, cites a study. It basically says something like, you look at atomic bomb radiation and you look at mammogram radiation and its effect on cellular tissue, we're using the wrong paradigm, we're using the wrong conversion factor. And I'm not a physicist, I may, even with the paper, not be able to make a call.
Well, that when you start making comparisons to atomic weapons, we have to be very careful to divide the difference between the genetic mutation potential of X radiation versus gamma radiation.
Yes.
So those are quite different, and I think that anyone who places information out to a patient that starts making comparisons between those two are doing nothing but scaring people to death.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the alternative websites do seem to be employing some scare tactics.
That type of thing is very, very unfortunate.
It must be frustrating for you because you're doing a credible job here in trying to be rational and fair.
Right. We have to understand that we have certain tools at this time. No one test is 100%. And I know that women are looking for the single test. And always what I do is I put it back in their ballpark. I lost my very near and dear stepsister to this disease. One of the reasons I'm doing this is to stop this from happening to any other family ever again. So basically, to me, I always put this back in their court, and I say, well, since no test is 100%, how many women would you say it's okay for us to miss and have them die? And, of course, the answer is none. And I say, well, this is why we're doing a combination. What I say when it comes to radiation, because, again, I use it in my office, is we don't want the non-judicial use of the technology. We don't want to be doing things that I have seen that do concern me a great deal. In our area here, which is the breast cancer capital of the world, because of certain watchful things that are being seen on mammograms, I do have women coming into my office that are having mammograms up to 4 times a year. That concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I think that we need to use other technologies and combine them for a better assessment without just using radiation, because over time there is a concern. Again, I wish I could answer with a great deal of credibility what that concern is.
I think you've given us a great place to end. I want to thank you, Dr. Amlu, for your excellent description of thermography and your assistance to all of the women who are facing difficult decisions and looking for information. We'll post your website, a link to that from ours at AskDrDawn.com. And hopefully we'll be seeing a thermography center down here in the Monterey Bay area sometime soon.
Actually, I think you're going to be having one pretty soon.
Rumor has it. Okay, yes. Great. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you.